Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. They're the ones that always get it done for us on Mondays. They have been with us since day one. And Kevin and I are looking forward very much to the Purdy Insurance Golf Tournament on May 8th at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. They do a great job of always giving back to the community. We're thrilled again on a Monday to tell you about our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Again, go to PurdyInsurance.com. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, our Hilscher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. We say good afternoon to Kevin Herr.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. It's great to hear from you. We will talk about the Daytona 500 in a moment. Later in the week, we are scheduled to have with us Dan Dockich from ESPN to talk about college basketball down the stretch. I've only met Dan a couple of times. That's it. Don't know him really at all. But somebody I do know, and we go back about 25 years, Mike DeCourcy, Big Ten Network, wrote for years for Sporting News, still does. Mike DeCourcy on college basketball will join us at this week as well. And we're still working on, and we're getting closer to getting Joe Lenardi on the show to talk about bracketology. So that's what we have coming up. And looking to get Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on later today. We'll talk about the Daytona 500, the significance. Danica Patrick is the story. Even though Jimmy Johnson won the race, Jimmy Johnson, in my opinion, is the Al Unser Sr. of the NASCAR circuit. And I'll explain why. And Danica Patrick has done something of incredible significance. She is the 15th person in the history of racing to, on green, lead a lap of the Daytona 500 and a lap of the Indianapolis 500, one of only 15. She joins the likes of Mario Andretti and A.J. Foyt in doing that. That's legendary. That's what she has accomplished in her young career so far. Now, breaking through and winning, we'll talk about that in a few moments. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back, Steve Jones Show, for a Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We're joined by Dave Paulson of Bucknell. Dave, welcome. Congratulations on what you've accomplished through this point. I want to start with the Lehigh game. You go down there, you know what you had to do. From a coach's point of view, the job's hard enough, but is it easier looking at a group of guys that also know what you have to do?
Well, you know, I mean, it had been a really focused group all the way through, and we certainly felt like, you know, we hadn't played our best when we played Lehigh the first game. And so I thought we really did a great job defensively at Lehigh. They had made 10 threes against us in the first game, and were, I think, second in the country at three-point field goal percentage coming into the game, and we held them, I think, 1-for-15 from three, and really did a good job. And then we got huge contributions off the bench, and you know, when Mike Moscow was in foul trouble in the first half and Joe Willman in foul trouble in the second half, and had just enough to come out of there with a victory.
Well, you know, luck certainly plays a role in it, but at the same time, you know, you talked about the defense. When you have mature players and you preach to them the value of defense, is it so much easier with mature players as opposed to kids understanding the value of defense, Dave?
Well, yes, they understand. You know, when you get veteran guys, they understand, number one, how when you get to conference play, I don't care what's happened in non-league play, it comes down to two or three or four possessions in the vast majority of the game. And so they understand, or hopefully they understand, for our guys that for the most part have understood the value of each possession. You know, that's the first thing, and how important it is to really be locked in defensively. And then the second thing is we're able with veteran guys to be able to change up our coverages on individual players, to change up our coverages on post defense or ball screen defense or staggered double screen defense. We're able to just give teams some different looks and then change it and go back. And it's very, very confusing. We know we had some freshmen out there, and when you try to change some things, you know, they're lucky they know what plan A is, and it's very hard to go to plan B and plan C. So I think those things really make it a lot easier.
Let's talk about Holy Cross yesterday. You go out there at home. It's an emotional time, obviously, especially with the seniors knowing that, you know, the finish line for them at home is on the horizon. What did you see yesterday? I know that you only gave up 57 again, but you popped in 74 this time. What did you see offensively?
Well, I think one is it was an emotional day. I mean, it was we recognized our seniors on that Sunday, even though we play home this Wednesday, because Bryson Johnson's, you know, mom is from Nova Scotia, and Mike Moscow's family from Minnesota. Just easier to get out here on a weekend. So it was an emotional day, and those seniors have meant so much to this program, not only on the court, which has been phenomenal. I think they're tied right now for the most wins of any class in the history of Bucknell, and hopefully we'll break that record. But then also off the court, you know, all four guys made the Dean's List first semester. They really represent everything we think is great. So it was a nice way to send them out. And what I liked offensively, we play with a better flow offensively than we have in a while. And we had 31 baskets, 18 assists on those 31 baskets. And the ball really moved, and we looked closer to how, you know, we'd envision ourselves offensively than we have in quite some time.
You talked about the academic part. Can you give the fans an idea that a school like Bucknell, where academics are so highly emphasized across the board, the time management that's needed and also the tutoring that is also can also help the academic advising that you have within your program to help these players out?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, the guys here at Bucknell are completely like the other students on campus, and that's just part of the philosophy of the school that, you know, there's, you know, these kids are completely representative of the class that's admitted at Bucknell. So that, you know, these guys come in prepared to do the work. Now, it's a lot of work, and you throw in the rigors of a Division I basketball schedule and weightlifting and film. You know, time management is key, and I think that's the biggest adjustment for freshmen, time management in the classroom. And then I think the biggest adjustment for freshmen is, you know, having to bring it every single day in practice where, you know, they probably could do things wrong in practice in high school and still be the best player on the court. So, you know, that's really important. And then a lot of for what we do, you know, we have four, including my director of operations, I have three assistant coaches and then my director of operations. Each guy has one of the classes. So there's one assistant coach assigned to the freshman class, checking in with them every week. What's due, how they did, what's going on, if there's any problems or concerns, and then we try to just really nip that in the bud. And the best line of defense here at Bucknell is our faculty, you know, where the average class size is only 16 kids in a class. So rather than going to tutoring and academic support and some things that maybe are the norm at a larger university, the guys are going to the office hours and the review sessions and one-on-one sessions with their faculty members, which is really at the core of what Bucknell is all about.
You can outright clinch the regular season championship with a win against American on Wednesday night. It's at hand. You control your own destiny. What would that mean to these seniors as the next step?
Well, I think the first thing is, we have a chance to be the first team in the history of Patriot League to win three outright Patriot League championships, regular season. And that is a phenomenal accomplishment that would be a part of their legacy. And, you know, we're focused as we need to be, as we will be, on the postseason. I think it's a little unfortunate in our society, you know, that everything's focused on, you know, do you win that one game in the conference tournament, and, you know, your season is kind of valued on that. You know, to me, for this group to have a level of consistency and excellence over three regular seasons to win three Patriot League championships is unbelievable. And that speaks to consistency and productivity and all the things that we really value. And so that's the first step. And if that happens, nobody can take that away from us, no matter what happens. If somebody plays out of their mind against us in the Patriot League tournament, or if you know, we get a bad whistle or foul mm-hmm. calls, or somebody doesn't play well. Having said that, it also puts us in position to host every game in the mm-hmm. conference tournament, and that is a tremendous advantage as we look to hopefully getting back to the NCAA tournament.
What does it tell the fans about the Patriot League that Lafayette, of course, they beat you, beat Lehigh? Does that give everyone an idea of the depth of the Patriot this year, that a team like has been able to, that they've been able to accomplish?
Yeah, I think, you know, our league, this is the best our league has been across the board. Last year, ourselves and Lehigh, you know, there was huge separation between our two teams and the rest of the league, you know, to be quite candid.
Right.
But Lafayette is a really good team. They got veteran guys. They space the floor. They can really shoot it well. Army is unbelievably improved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got out alive at Army with a 2-point win at Army. I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are good. Like, I don't know if people realize that was a great victory.
The Ellis kid's a big time player.
He's a big time player, but I think when you saw them against Penn State, they were a bunch of freshmen trying to figure it out. Those freshmen have played through so many things. They're really playing at a high level. Ellis is their best player, but not by a lot. There's other guys that are clearly almost as good, which probably wasn't the case in November and December. So, mm-hmm. so they're really, really talented, and we're lucky to get out of live at American. We had a tip in at the buzzer to beat American, who's the team we're playing on Wednesday. So the depth is so good in the league, and the level of preparation, you've got terrific coaches in this league, and then you've got guys on the teams that really buy into game preparation. So, you know, there's no secrets, and games are really close and competitive and hard fought.
Dave, appreciate the time you gave us. Good luck against American at home on Wednesday night and then at Navy this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Paulson, head basketball coach at Bucknell. I'll be honest with you. They should be in the tournament regardless, but that you and we all know there's a reality to it, as he just explained. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. The Purdy's doing a great job again putting together their golf tournament on May 8th. Susquehanna Valley Country Club will be out there. We hope to see you there as well. And, of course, insurance needs, go to prettyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And The Hilscher's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, www.hilscherstore.com. We're joined by Tim Ford, the head basketball coach at Shikellamy. Tim, welcome back to the show, and congratulations on surviving Kevin all year.
Well, he hasn't completely survived me yet. He's still got a couple more games to go, right, Tim?
Hopefully at least three or four more.
There's an incentive there.
Incentive.
Yeah. Tim, it's going to be the third go-around. When there's this kind of familiarity, tell me what the approach is for a coach with his basketball team when the familiarity's that deep.
Well, I was listening to Dave just a minute ago, when he's talking about the Patriot League. Anytime you're playing a team in the league, both teams are very familiar. And, Dave sort of hit it right on, especially with playoff basketball. It's going to come down to three or four possessions through the course of the game. So you're hoping your guys are prepared to handle those three or four possessions. And you don't know they're going to happen in the first, second, third, or fourth quarter. So you're just hoping, your guys are going to be prepared with what you've been working on in practice and what you've seen on film, that you're going to make the right decisions at the right time.
Essentially, you had the play-in game. So you had to do that. Has that at least helped mentally prepare you for postseason play?
Well, it sort of kept us in a routine. Danville hasn't played for close to a week and a half, so you would think that they're going to be a little rusty coming out of the gates. And that's one of the things that we're trying to focus on. Hopefully we can come out with a quick start. The nice thing about our schedule, the way it worked out, we played Jersey Shore on Wednesday, and we played State College on Friday. We came back last Tuesday, played Central Mountain, and then we had a game on Friday. So we've been sort of in a routine, twice a week through the course of the season, which I feel we're playing well. Obviously, we'd rather come out on the positive end on those games with State College and Central Mountain, but I thought it was good for us because, kept us in the flow, and I thought we were very competitive in both games. We played State College, pretty tough, for the most part. There's so many shooters they have in that team, as you know. And then Central Mountain, we were right there. We lost by one. And, we were in a game. But I felt that helped us prepare because we feel that we're not going to see, State College, we're not going to see that many good shooters on the floor at one time. Central Mountain, we're not going to see, the type of pressure they put on the ball, from the teams we're going to play in the playoffs. So we're hoping that's going to prepare us moving forward.
Well, you put your schedule together, and I found it interesting. I think it takes some guts to go out and schedule bigger the way you did. Tell me the benefits mentally and physically that your team was able to get out of playing those games.
Well, it's only a benefit if you're competing and or winning the game. And Kevin, talks to me. It's a moral boost. I'm not a real big moral victory guy.
No.
But
you have to take something out of it. It's over, though.
Well, one, it's just playing quality competition. It's something that we sort of hung our hat on, for a number of years now, that we will play, quality competition. I'd rather have my guys pushed than, go to some, play some single or double A team that we know we're going to beat and beat them by 30 or 40 points. That really doesn't prove a lot to our program. And it's the point now where our guys look forward, to the games we're going to play out of leagues. They know it's going to be quality competition. Even the games that we played in the area, have been against Lewisburg and Loyal Sock, two top 10 double A teams. So, we're not afraid to step out and play quality competition. I feel it's going to help our program top to bottom, for our guys moving up. In the offseason, we say, even when we step out of the league, our league's, fairly competitive for the most part, but even when we step out of the league, you're going to be tested on, on those given nights when we step out of the league. So we feel it's only to our advantage to play that type of competition.
It is amazing at this time of the year what leadership really means. What kind of leadership do you have in your practice floor that translates to your games?
For probably the past 6-7 weeks, we've had great leadership from our seniors. And, I heard Dave talking about Senior Day, and our seniors have been stepping up. About a week and a half ago, we were having just a so-so practice, and I said to Ernie Tyler, I go, Ernie, your days are numbered. I wasn't saying to be mean. I was just saying, hey, your days of playing basketball for Shikellamy High School are coming to an end. And high school sports are a lot different because these are guys that you played with. We have a program called Ivy League, and it starts in our fourth grade for our guys in our program, to play basketball. And some of you guys have been playing with the same kids since fourth grade. So for the past 8 years, you've been playing with your best friends for life. Even if you're lucky enough to play a college sport, after high school, you're not playing those types of friends. You're playing the guys you're going to meet and probably become friends with, but it's not going to be a lifelong friend like you've had in high school. So our senior leadership, you know, last night in practice, we had a practice, you know, we came in on Sunday, tried to get 2 days in a row, and our practice last night was very enthusiastic, very energetic. And it started with our two senior captains, Ernie and Zach Herbster, in the pre-practice huddle saying, you know, let's get things done tonight, let's have a good night. So I can't, you know, I'm extremely happy with our senior leadership moving forward, and hopefully that's going to carry us through tomorrow also.
Later in the week, I'm going to have Dan Dockajah from ESPN, and I know in talking with him and watching yesterday's Michigan-Illinois game, Jordan Morgan, who's the elder statesman for Michigan, had 1 point and six rebounds, yet he was absolutely critical to Michigan winning the game yesterday over Illinois. Give me the name of a player, Tim, that may be under the radar to the fans but is gold to the coaches.
Well, that's probably Zach Herbster. I'm not really sure if he's underrated, you know, by the fans. You know, I think the people who have watched this day in and day out through the course of the season really appreciate Zach. You know, Zach is just he brings energy, he brings emotion to the game. He's the one guy that, you know, he's only averaging 5 points a game for us, but he's also averaging 9-10 rebounds. And you know, we had one game where we played Seals Grove, he had 15 rebounds. Seals Grove as a team had 16. You know, he's just that guy. He's undersized. He's only about 6'1", 6'2". But we know that when he steps on the floor, he's going to give us everything he has plus some.
The next part of this is you and I know that guard play is so important because they handle the ball the vast majority of time. How comfortable are you with your guard play, and how do you feel about the matchup with Danville?
Well, I feel very confident. You know, we respect Danville. But we're also confident that we're going to play well against Danville. The last time we played them, we had an 8-point lead in the third quarter. We had a bad 3-minute stretch going in at the end of the third, end of the fourth, where they sort of threw a half-court trap on us, and we didn't handle it really well. Probably one of the few times we didn't handle something like that this season. But I feel confident, you know, our guards, you know, starting with Ernie Tyler, his brother CJ, and a player that's been really coming on for us, Austin Mowry, has been playing well the past 7-8 games. He's been averaging 10 points a game. Gives us another outside shooting threat. You know, the one thing that we've been doing well down the stretch with our success has been, you know, we've been shooting the three ball pretty well. And, you know, anytime you can shoot well, you're always going to put yourself in a position to win the game.
The next part of this is Danville itself. What has made them a quality basketball team when you've looked at them in person and take a look at the tapes?
Well, it's just the consistency with the players. You know, Lenny Smith, their head coach, does a great job. They always seem to be playing their best basketball towards the end of the season. They run a system on their offensive ends, a continuity offense, where they just have some cutters and some screeners. And their guys have very high basketball IQs. They always seem to be making the right decision at the right time. They always seem to be knocking down a big shot, you know, when they have to have a big shot. Mm-hmm. So there's a very fundamental sound team. They're well coached. And the biggest thing that with Danville is they're on top of the hill. You know, until someone knocks them off, everyone's going to be looking up. And that's one thing you have to overcome is the ability to knock off the champion. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do.
You mentioned that Danville always has a habit of playing its best basketball at the end of the season. Are you playing your best basketball right now?
I really think we are. Even though we came in losing our last three games at Jersey Shore, State College, and Central Mountain, I thought that we were moving forward in each game. And you know, I can't be upset with how we're playing right now. If, you know, the kids are confident. They're coming to practice every day. It's enjoyable to come to practice. You know, as much as it can be to come to practice, they have a good, upbeat attitude. You know, they're working hard. And I think they're really, you know, ready to play the game tomorrow. And really, you know, truthfully, probably tonight will be the hardest practice to go through because, you know, you're just going through trying to fine-tune some things and just going over some of the matchups and some of the things we're going to try to do. And it might be the longest hour and a half practice we have of the season, you know, just for the kids, you know, the fact the kids are, I think they're excited to play.
Okay. We talk about the kids a lot. I want to ask you, though, what are you like enthusiasm-wise at this time of the year?
As a coach, you have to keep your enthusiasm in check. And I find myself, you know, I'm an enthusiastic, emotional type guy. You can ask Kevin. There's times I wear my emotions on my sleeve a lot. But in a game like this, I've come to the conclusion after doing it so many years that I have to maintain my composure, because if the kids look over and see me, out of control, either too much, too happy or too sad, it's going to reflect on them. So, you're excited and you're burning up inside, but you have to maintain that composure on the outside so the guys on the team understand that you're the guy in charge and you're going to make the right decision at the right time.
Kevin, anything you'd like to add?
Actually, you hit everything I was going to, and we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow night in a little more detail.
Well, Kevin, you're going to have to get me early then, buddy.
Why? Are you going to avoid me now?
No, I'm just, I told you before I came on, there's some competition for you tomorrow night, so you're going to have to be on your A game.
I should get the first interview no matter what.
I'm not saying you won't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Might as well just play this back. All right.
He probably will.
Actually, it's probably the best interview Tim's done all year, because you asked him better questions than I do. It's a good thing it's not a video that we're doing a pregame, because you get some interesting looks when I asked him a question.
I imagine. Tim, thanks so much. We always appreciate the time you give us. I wish you nothing but the best of luck. It's an exciting time of the year, and I think it's really great you gave us the time. And good luck with Kevin, no matter how far you go.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.
And don't worry, Tim. I'll be excited enough for you. So I'll pick up for you. Don't worry, brother.
That's one of the things that people say and listen to you on the radio. Sometimes you get a little too excited, but that's a good note. You and Dave do a great job for the people that can't come see the game.
We have a lot of fun. I'll talk to you tomorrow night, Tim. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And I think that's great that you do. I think it's great you do. I always laugh at critics. Well, you have to be a certain way. Excuse me. If you haven't done it in your lifetime and you can't get excited about the moment, you shouldn't be in the thing.
Well, and everybody always, people that have just come in and started listening said, when did you graduate from Shikellamy? I said, I didn't. Matter of fact, I competed against Shikellamy a lot of times in high school. Right. I said, the whole point is I enjoy watching it. You spend a lot of time with the kids and the coaches and the parents at this level, and you're there for 22, 23 games a year. There's only a handful of kids on the team, so you do have a personal connection along the way. And if you don't have one, then boy, it's I don't know what's wrong with you, because you're doing the same team year in or week in and week out.
Well, year in and year out too.
Yeah.
I mean, there are kids on this team that were sophomores that, you watched the last 3 years. So, I mean, it's a year in and year out thing. I mean, there are young players that you saw in football for Shikellamy in the fall that are coming back.
Absolutely.
And you've watched them develop from and watched them get better. And now they've gone from a role player, a part-time player, to now a starter, to now improving, to now being all conference. I mean, you see all that. And there's nothing – I mean, it's an enjoyable watch to sit there – and do this. I mean, now, obviously, in high school basketball, you don't have, people won't write up on you. But, I always laugh and say, you get so excited. It's a controlled excitement, and you have to understand that when you're sitting there and there are 15,000 people in the arena or there's 100,000 people in the stadium, guess what? It's exciting.
Well, and you're the eyes. You're the eyes in radio, especially of everybody listening to the game. So if you're not excited, the game doesn't sound exciting.
Right.
That's the way I've always looked at it. But, you mentioned one thing there. I think there's 6,000 point scorers that I've been privileged enough to be on the air when they've hit their 1,000. I think Tyler Pratt and Brantley Osborne were, believe it or not, the only two where I was actually there for all 1,000 points. And I felt just as excited as their family did.
Sure. Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshire's General Store hotline is open. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Hilshire's General Store, located on routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Salins Grove. You can always preview it by going to www.hilshirestore.com. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Tim Ford. Tomorrow we'll take the Danville side of it. We'll do that. We have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, coming up at 4:06. Later in the week, Dan Dockich will join us from ESPN. Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News, Big Ten Network, will join us. Also, still working on Joe Lenardi to talk bracketology, and we're closing in on that. That one's getting pretty close. Joey Brackets will do it for us. That's not an issue. It's always easier when you have his cell number. As for the Daytona 500 yesterday, I'll go back to my original comment that I made, that Jimmy Johnson, to me, is the Al Unser Sr. of NASCAR. Probably wondering why I made that statement.
No, but I understand. I mean, from a winning standpoint, I can understand that.
No, here's the reason why.
Okay.
In IndyCar, during the Al Unser Sr. era, it was the era of Mario Andretti, A.J. Foyt, hard-charging, Parnelli Jones, hard-charging, Jimmy Leonard, hard-charging, and then there would be a guy who understood that if I can negotiate the first 490 miles and stay out of trouble, I can put myself in a position to win the race through attrition and then be in the right spot at the right time. Jimmy Johnson races very much like that. I know he got wiped out on lap one last year. Those things can't be avoided. Sometimes it's just circumstance. Tony Stewart's a great driver, and of course, right away he and Kevin Harvick got knocked out yesterday. But Stewart was Jimmy Johnson very quietly just bided his time, stayed out of trouble, put himself in a position, had some great pit stops that worked to his advantage, was never the dominant guy in the race. Because he understood for the first 490 miles, he did not need to be the dominant guy in the race or the dominant person of the race. He needed to be in the right spot at the right time to win the race. He's done a lot of this in his career where he's understood that he had to be in the right spot at the right time. That's the way Al Unser Sr. raced in IndyCar back in the late 60s and early 70s and into the mid-70s. That's the way Jimmy Johnson races now. Now, as for Danica Patrick, what she did was remarkable yesterday, and I know she finished eighth. Normally, she's hard charging. Yesterday, it appeared that it was more important. I go back to the Rocky Balboa line in Rocky One, the one that won the Academy Award for Best Picture, right? And he says to Adrian the night before the fight with Apollo Creed, he says, I want to go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. He didn't talk about winning. He talked the goal was to go the distance with Creed. It appeared yesterday that as well as she raced, the most important thing was to finish. It appeared that finishing trumped winning yesterday. She didn't do anything daring to try to win.
Well, she even mentioned that in the post-race interview. She said that she was afraid if she ducked out, she'd get freight trained.
Well, that's what I mean. She thought about it, she'd get freight trained. She probably was right. But you know what?
And it happened anyway.
Well, she didn't get into an accident. That's what she was concerned about.
No. At the end of the race, she was talking about pulling out a line and nobody going with her and getting passed up by everybody else like a freight train.
Right.
That's what I thought she meant. And it ended up happening anyway.
Yeah, well, I think what we saw yesterday was the first race with new cars.
Very much so.
Because we saw that was as dull a race as you could possibly ask it to be. Absolutely. You want racing. Okay, first of all, the ratings yesterday were the highest in 7 years. She has a lot to do with that. The fact that she was competitive, and nobody was in the top three more laps yesterday than she was. Also, the fact that Dale Jr. was also competitive and racing in the top five near the end helped as well. So the ratings for the Daytona 500 were the highest in 7 years. She has a lot to do with that because she draws the casual fan in. Now the question, it will be a breaking through and winning. She, you know, as I mentioned, she's one of 15 by what we understand to lead, have a lead lap under green of both the Indianapolis 500 and the Daytona 500. It is an elite list from Tim Richmond to Johnny Rutherford to A.J. Foyt to the great Mario Andretti. So she's done that, and that because you know what's significant about that list? That's a list of drivers. It has nothing to do with first woman to finish top 10,
right,
highest finish by women, first woman to win pole. She wants to be known as a driver. And guess what? And she wants to be known as a great driver. That list is of drivers and has nothing to do with being, you know, with gender. And she should be known as a driver. She knows she's trailblazing for women, but she wants to be known as a great driver. Well, yesterday, she proved her mettle over and over and over. She had a great race yesterday. She really did. And when you go 500 miles, luck enters into it. And that's the game Al Unser Sr. played. He played the game of, I'll race it, I'm there, and then I'm going to catch a break here or there, and that's how I'll win. Jimmy Johnson yesterday raced the same way yesterday. He was never once the dominant car in the race and was rarely talked about. Yet at the end, he put himself in that position where a little luck worked his way, and he won.